my calculations are correct, when this baby hits 88 miles per hour, you're gonna see some serious shit.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
It's showtime.
Right, welcome everybody to another episode of the VHS Strikes Back. I'm one of your hosts, Chris, and my co-host and very good friend is Dave.
Hey there, Chris, and hello to our listeners out there. Welcome to the VHS Strikes Back, the show where we dust off the old video player and go on a nostalgic journey to look at the good and the bad movies of yesteryear. Now, Chris, what are we going to review this week?
Well, Dave, our good friend and Patreon, Math, has actually picked a sci-fi mecha action film, Dave, which was quite a mouthful for me to say as if I knew what that meant. We're going back to 1990. It is in the Chris Phelps sweet spot of movies. And this one is called Robot Jocks, Dave. So have you got any recollection of watching this one?
I have, Chris. So I'd forgotten about this. And another great thing, you know, if I picked another 500 movies, I'd have probably still forgotten about it. But when, you know, when Math had mentioned it, I was like, oh, fuck, I do remember this. And I remember watching it quite a lot. It spoke to me. Like, I mean, massive fucking robots controlled by people. Like, what kid doesn't want to see that? And I was talking a little bit with Math, and I'd mentioned it on the, I think it was the X-Men pod, about Zoids. Do you remember Zoids at all?
I remember the name. I think I remember. I've never watched it. I think I've got an idea what it is. Yeah.
Yeah. Basically, robot dinosaurs, but controlled by pilots. So, I mean, it was a little bit before this. And I remember getting the comics, weirdly, like Marvel UK used to release this Spider-Man and Zoids comic. So, you know, that was already out, and, you know, so there were already stories about this kind of thing. And also, I think a weird reference, but, you know, there's a lot of Japanese stuff. You remember you used to talk about the guy who used to come around with it, with his larder estate?
Yeah,
with a bunch of videos in the back, or none of the latest titles that you've ever heard of, but, you know, some random fucking shit. And it had a bunch of like Japanese stuff, and it was all like, you know, Godzilla and stuff like that, where it's a bloke in a suit, you know, walking around a little model village. And you know, so all of these kind of things like really spoke to me. So when this came out, you know, I did remember sticking it on the old Scotch tape and watching it quite a lot. So I have to say, though, I mean, it did spring up a lot of memories for me. But weirdly, I only remember the concept. I remembered nothing about the actual story at all. So it was a weird feeling of having that nostalgia, but also not really knowing where the story was going to go. How about yourself, Chris?
No, never even heard of it. I've not even seen it. And you mentioned Pacific Rim, which I've never watched, to be honest, with Charlie Hunnam and that. And you said it's quite similar. I think it was last week we were having a bit of a chat with the trailer. But I was watching it thinking, I would have loved this. You know, like, just so silly. And like I mentioned, the initial trailer, and obviously we'll get into what we think of it, it did feel almost Power Ranger-like. So I went through this massive spate of watching it with my younger cousins when I was like 13, 14, and I'd stay at my nan's, and they were like 3 or 4 years old, and I'd be like, oh, watch it. But it was like, you know, martial arts and all that. And I'd still, you know, I'd watch it with them, and you'd get that silly sort of animatronic sort of effects of the big Power Rangers when they powered up and all that. And then Jordan went through a phase where she had the Power Rangers outfits, her and my nephew Kyle, they had everything Power Rangers. So I sort of had a renaissance watching sort of the older Power Rangers and the new stuff. She doesn't even have recollection of it now, Dave. I'm gutted about that. I just love the Power Rangers watching it. But so I did think, this looks quite familiar. So where I'm going to go with it, I don't know. But then I did feel in the trailer, it was like a Running Man sort of feel to it as well. It's this game that everyone watches. So, yeah, so I was looking forward to actually reviewing this one, thinking, yeah, I can get into this, having never seen it. And that's the beauty of doing this, isn't it? Like, I have so many of our listeners and friends and that who just throw a movie out there, and you're like, I never would have watched that. But then you sort of enjoy it and go, how's this even passed me by? But I do think, again, it's this video shop thing for us, that if you didn't have like sort of a massive national company like Blockbuster or even Global, who were massive at the time, and they would have five or six copies of the big films. And then once the big films have gone, you would then go, oh, what can we watch today? And you'd go in the different sections and that. This would probably be something I may have picked up. But then when you've got the little independent video shops, you'd be like, well, this would never have been in the video shop Sound and Vision near my house, because it was literally, you know, you'd have martial arts movies and stuff like that, but it was sort of like picking a needle in a haystack sometimes to get these like obscure movies. So yeah, so I'm looking forward to talking about this one, and I had no idea anything about it, to be honest. Even though I read that Van Damme was actually nearly cast as the lead actor.
Yeah, I mean, he'd have done Bloodsport by this time, wouldn't he? So I think, though, he might have been running around the jungle with a Predator outfit on. So I think this was made, but it was released in 90, but it was made a couple of years before. And
yeah,
it was Empire Pictures that they basically spent so much money on this. I mean, so much money, it's up a limit of about 10 million, but obviously it's a smaller company. They basically went bust. So that doesn't really help when, you know, you're trying to really push a movie forward and get it distributed and everything. So maybe that didn't help it. But yeah, it's an interesting point that, you know, maybe this could have been bigger than it really was had they not gone bust.
Yeah, potentially. And it, without doubt, I know there was talk of it reading some of the trivia and that, but this was definitely a franchise that they thought this was going to create, wasn't it? You know, it took inspiration from Transformers, you can see that. But it did look like we were going to get, maybe not this the main actor, even though he's not a massive name as such, he's more of a TV actor looking at his bio and that, you know, fair play. But, and he actually passed away this year, to be honest.
Really?
Passed away this year. Yeah, sorry about that. But it looked like it was a franchise job, didn't it? TV movie, you know, potential sort of kids show, even though we do get the mass killing and we skate over that, Dave. So I could see it could have been a lot more. I think they were relying on it being something that it wasn't, unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, with that, Chris, should we get into the trailer?
Let's go.
It's a new age of combat.
Human beings, genetically engineered to be the best fighters in history.
Two champions.
It isn't over until someone wins.
At war with each other.
Achilles, I have already killed you.
Two invincible men.
Let's finish it, Alexander, here and now.
The ultimate killing machines.
I'm gonna get in this thing! And I'm gonna kick your...
The battle's over!
Not for me.
Robot Jocks.
50 years after a nuclear holocaust, mankind is decimated and the surviving nations, the American Western influence market and the Soviet Russian influenced confederation, have agreed to outlaw traditional open war. In their place, disputes are settled with a gladiator-style match between giant robots operated by pilots called Robot Jocks, who are contracted to fight 10 matches. Now, Chris, what do you reckon to the opening of this movie?
Well, Dave, I've got to say, you know, we watch loads of movies, and everyone listening, we all watch different movies, and you can watch a movie and go, well, that plot is from... this really, you know, the writer's like, I've got an idea. No, you've basically
Rocky IV.
Well, I was just about to say that this whole movie, you stole my thunder, is Rocky IV, basically, Dave, with Robot. No, but you got the same idea. The whole thing, we've got like the sort of the Russian baddie, this big bad, haven't we? We've got the almost a bit of Rocky III in there, you know, like, because obviously Achilles gets a bit of a shoe in. It's pretty obvious leading up. He's done 9 fights and he's done this, and he's got a bit of martial arts experience, hasn't he, Dave? I mean, he takes on what makes him happy. Yeah, well, yeah, so he's he takes on 6 of these trainees at the start, and then one of them who he's levered in the battle of 6 then decides, I'm going to go one-on-one with this guy and have a go at him. And it's like, yeah, mate, you've just got beat in like 6 if you're attacking this guy and you're going to have a go at him one-on-one. So anyway, he's like the hero, and he is like Rocky, basically. It's Rocky 3 mixed with Rocky 4. So how the writer and creator's got away with this shit, I do not know. And gone, this is a really original idea. No, it's not. No, it's not. So, however, I really enjoyed it, Dave. I know it's poorly reviewed, but it feels so like familiar. You've got the Rocky stuff. You've got Running Man, one of my favorite movies. You've got all these little things. Yeah, the acting's terrible. I mean, fucking hell, Gary Graham, who's Achilles, he's fucking awful. But and that Tex guy, he's putting on fucking the Texan accent in his Tex Conway. It's fucking bobbins, isn't it? It's like me or you. I mean, you heard me do that fucking American accent that time, which we never talk about. But yeah, we never talk about that, Dave. But honestly, we don't. Chip Daniels, what a legend. The living legend. I've made sure there's no digital footprint of that fucking accent or podcast ever again. Ever. I even burnt the fucking laptop it was on. It was that bad, Dave. It was like, fuck that. It just feels dead familiar. It is a low budget movie as such, even though they put a lot behind it. And honestly, I just went with it. It's silly, but this martial art, this action, this the Rocky fucking ripoff. So yeah, I didn't mind this at all, Dave, I've got to say.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I'll be honest, I hadn't drawn such a straight line from Rocky IV, but you're kind of right. Is it Rocky IV, though, or is it just this kind of Cold War, US versus Russia kind of thing, sentiment? I don't know. It might just be a bit of that as well. But
yeah.
But you could say that, you know, Rocky IV is so culturally significant. You know, it spawned off other movies like Predator and Robot Jocks.
In the same sentence, Dave. Now you call me for stuff like about that. Yeah, great.
Yeah, but you're normally saying, "Oh yeah, Les Miserables." Actually, I think they took inspiration from No Treat, No Surrender 3. It's very much like, you know, the interaction between Lauren Avadon and Keith Fatale. But anyway, So I tell you, you're right. I think it does. I think there's part of just the whole Cold War. It was obviously coming to the end. But I mean, I was trying to think. And I had mentioned before talking to my daughter about the Cold War and stuff. I don't know, because obviously we were just kids, but I don't know if people really knew that the wall was going to come down and, you know, the kind of Soviet Union would dismantle and the Cold War would sort of cease to be, although you could argue we're still in it. But yeah, I don't know if anyone could have predicted that. It was 89, wasn't it, when it came down? But it just seemed to be like this uprising that came out of nowhere. I don't remember anyone discussing that, you know, we're approaching the last days of the Cold War at the time. But yeah, so Paul Coslow, who plays Alexander, Jesus Christ, he is a proper mustache twirling villain, isn't he?
Fantastically.
Really, ridiculously over the top. And like, you know, when he wins a battle, he's like squishes the other pilot, doesn't he? And everyone's like, oh, come on, man, it's not cool, you know. And like you say, you got the fucking stereotypical Texan with his cowboy hat on. I mean, what what kind of person has a cowboy hat, Chris?
from Sheen to wear in Las Vegas of all places, Dave, and he's not even a fucking cowboy. I look like some fucking sheep farmer from Australia or something. Fucking Mick Dundee had fucking probably whacked me one.
Yeah. But there is something very, very watchable about it. I mean, is 10 million low budget?
Probably not at this time. No, it's probably not.
I think it is a sizable budget. I mean, Reservoir Dogs, a million, you know, that's low budget. But I think for the time, I think the effects are actually pretty good. I mean, you have some of the, you know, like the Jason and the Argonaut style stop motion. But then, you know, the overall effects are actually pretty good. And I did spot there was a bit of a cameo in the background there. So Jeffrey Combs actually just plays some bystander. You've got this weird apocalyptic or post-apocalyptic kind of scenario where you've got all these people in rags. I mean, they basically look like they could have been out of Monty Python's Holy Grail as like background. You know, everyone's in these rags and stuff. Yet they can afford to go and watch this spectator event with these massive robots. And you say about the martial arts and stuff. I mean, Achilles, fucking hell. It seemed to me like they just said, right, I tell you what, you guys, you know, Achilles, you're going to kick everyone's ass. Do some martial arts. that's what it seemed to be to me. So, you know, this was not fucking, I'm even going to say, Chris, this was not Lauren Avadon, was it? You know, you were getting no real high kicks or, you know, some great action shots. I thought, honestly, it all looked a bit poor.
So he's in good shape in this, isn't he? He looks, you know, he doesn't look like over the top genetically enhanced, but he does. But you're right. I just want to go back to that Russian guy. He literally was just going to say, you know, whatever he hits, he destroys. Yeah. You know, it's like that voice. It's like me and you putting a Russian voice on, wasn't it? And you're right, because you've got like the up and coming sort of fighters, aren't you? That you've got the girl and there's loads of derogatory stuff, isn't there? Like Achilles is there, isn't it? And like she says, like, yeah, he's a few things you could do for me. And all of a sudden when he gets beat, he goes to the bar and he's got this stupid fucking plaster on his head literally for the whole film after this. He's so fucking off-putting to say that he's had a bit of a crack on the head. It's like, come on, just take the plaster off. But I think when he sort of decides he's going to retire, because it's, you know, he's more upset, Ben Richards style, of the 300 people who died at the fight, and he, you know, like all these bystanders are there. And I still question, I'm going to throw back to something completely off the scale, Dave. I love the ending of the second Andrew Garfield Spider-Man. You know, when he's fighting Rhino?
Yeah.
And the kid goes in the crowd. Let's get things straight here, Dave. This is this level of it. Why would the crowd be behind barriers as if they're watching a parade, stand there while Rhino has got these semi-automatic fucking machine guns coming out of his fucking outfit with the police cars, like the police cars are going to protect him and he's firing at him. And then the kid comes in front of Rhino's like, brave boy, brave boy. And then fucking Spider-Man comes in, doesn't he? And he's like, you know, I'll take it from here sort of thing. And I love that ending. I know it's silly, but the context of it is like, there'd be stray bullets killing all innocent bystanders. It'd be a fucking bloodbath. So why go and put yourself in that situation? You're not watching someone make a film. It was just so random at the end of that film. But this is like this. It's like, well, why are you all there? I know like it's a big event and they're in this thing. It's the only thing keeping people going and it's good v bad and all that. But it just seems so silly. But when he goes in the bar and he goes to like, you know, I'm retiring and all that, his whole retirement hasn't lasted a year and they found him like in a fucking on the beach somewhere with a big beard and a beer belly, you know, like fucking four level of like, he's so distraught because like the whole world, he should have killed Thanos and he sort of fucking didn't and all that shit. And he's just gone the other way. He's become a gamer. This happens in about, it's supposed to be a week. It's not even a week. And they're all going, he's a fucking coward. In a week, come on, it's not like, we're not Rocky 2 here where Apollo's pulling the chickens out, you know, the fucking, the Italian fucking chicken and all, taking the piss out of him. He's literally goes back to see his sister who, I mean, she says, we're having meat. It's a fucking hot dog in some, I don't know what it looks like. It's like something you'd throw down after you've had a curry, Dave. It looked terrible. But this it just makes no sense at all, this. He's gone from this hero in the space of like a couple of days, and everyone's fucking hating the guy. And I'm like, but that is completely off the scale. The time scale of that for me was just ridiculous. But again, you've got to have that, you know, I need to get my mojo back, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, I think they could have done a better job there, couldn't they? It didn't seem to last that long. However, Chris, what I would say is, when we went back to watch Superman 2...
Now, steady. Fucking steady now. It's one of my favourite films.
It's not going to be a criticism, but in our young childlike memories, you know, Superman lost his powers for ages, and like,
yes,
you know, that film was like, it went for ages when he didn't have his powers or whatever. And you rewatch it years later, and you're like, he basically lost his powers, had a bit with Lois, got beat up at a bar, and he's like, fuck this, I'm getting my powers back.
Yeah, yeah,
lasted like 5 minutes. But in your memory, it's like, oh, it lasted a lot longer. So I guess with this, I'm expecting it to last a bit longer, you know, him to be, you know, out of it. But really, it didn't last at all, did it? You know, he basically ducks out at the end of his 10 matches, as he should do, as he's contracted to. But, you know, just because he's got to stick it to the Ruski, you know, and he's going to stop the other guy from the other pilot from getting killed. He's going to come out of retirement. So yeah, it did all seem to happen a bit quick. But I kind of think that maybe we just have different expectations watching it now. And if we'd have been watching it at the time, we wouldn't have even thought that.
No, you're right. I 100% agree with you. If I was a kid, I wouldn't have even thought about that. Obviously, the girl Athena, she's took him back to the bar. She's undressed him, Dave. I mean, if it was the other way around, we'd be saying this. However, she's examined his body, and that scene when he wakes up with the hangover, that bit is fucking awful. He's terrible in that bit. That is terrible. And he's bouncing around the fucking room, and he's got like his robe around him and all this. Gotta say, Dave, bit of a dirty bastard, don't brush his teeth, just puts his fucking clothes straight on, Dave. Yeah. Not happy about that. That was a bit of a fucking Kyle Reese job, Terminator. But, you know, there's a little bit of, you know, sexual tension, shall we say, Dave. You know, she's just been nurtured to grow up in this thing. And there's a couple of bits where they're having a shower and Tex is stood there while she's got no clothes. Well, there's a few benefits. I'm like, this is a little bit fucking creepy, eh? You know. But then even when they were having the fight and a little bit later on, he's decided to do a comeback because one of the younger guys has had a go at the Russian Annie in the bar. And he says to him, no, and he goes, right, I'm fucking coming back. I'm not having it. So he goes to, and he has this fucking scrap with her. Scenery's falling apart like it's prisoner cell block H. I mean, he's not really got much fucking privacy there. It's all like plastic and fucking sheets everywhere. But you can clearly see they are going to end up on that bed when they're fighting. The whole fight is so badly shot. It's not like where all of us, you know, at some point they're going to kiss. You know, at some point there's going to be some sort of tension, sexual tension between them. But that whole fight, and then he gets on top of her and kisses her, and then she'd already given him a sedative, and she knees him in the balls and gives him a bit of a kick, and then, you know, knocks him in. But I was like, I knew that was coming because the bed just looked too, it was too in shot. It was just a big double bed, wasn't it? But anyway, she then, you know, decides she wants to do the fight. She's done this test where she's gone to the top of the ceiling. Seems a bit silly because they're killing off all the other fucking people as they go to the top. I mean, I don't know why some of your great proteges you'd want to just finish them off on this. I don't know what it is. It's almost like, you know, that game where you had the wire and you'd go around it to not make it buzz, and it'd be like from one side to the other. I'm doing it now, my hand, David, or the fucking hand thing. But it seemed like that. It was like, this seems a bit unfair. There was no real understanding why they would say get to the top and you're in sort of thing. But what was the point of everyone else all these 20 odd years you've trained these people up? You're just going to kill them straight away. I don't know about that. That didn't make any sense. But ultimately, Athena feels like she can step up to the plate, and she's almost Apollo Creed at this point, isn't she? She's ready to sort of take on Ivan Drago and prove to people that she will not have this, and she's ready, you know, and ultimately she isn't really.
Yeah, I mean, let's face it, right? There's quite a bit of misogyny going on in this movie.
Yeah.
You know? So
really bad.
The bit that I thought was really kind of off, and bearing in mind, you're trying to spark up this fucking franchise from Transformers. But then there's a scene earlier on where they give him a little container to jizz into, you know, because they want to get the genetic material of the best fighters and stuff. And Athena herself has been genetically bred, hasn't she? She's sort of taking the DNA from various sources and whatever. And he says something like, oh, you know, should just go straight to the source. Just looks at Athena, you know, like, fucking hell. I mean, that's a trip straight to HR, isn't it, surely? But I don't know. It kind of almost feels like Achilles, you know, the man has got to step in to, you know, save the day, you know, because Athena, she's had a go, you know. Bless her. So, you know, I'm going to come in and save the day here. So, yeah, there are some real kind of notes that are played here that I just don't think you'd see today.
You wouldn't. And just literally before Athena steps it up, and you do feel as if, like, maybe she's got a chance here, a bit of a guidance. But Tex has gone and killed, like, and it was pretty obvious from the start. The Texan guy, Texas, you could tell he was the double crosser. He reminded me a little bit of a couple of years later, actually. It was that Shelley Marcone in Last Boy Scout, you know, the one who runs the football team, and he's got the cowboy hat. He's playing that accent. It was probably his real accent, but he's so over the top. And he's like that. And it's like, it's pretty obvious this is the mole, because they couldn't understand that. Professor, the guy who builds like the mech things, he's like, yeah, we just can't understand, blah, blah, blah. And then he pulls the old gun on him, doesn't it? I mean, he's miles away at one point, Tex, but the professor lets Tex get close enough to take the gun off him, give him a bit of a dig, points it. He looks like he's going to take him out. But then, you know, the professor's clever, Dave, because he puts the old camera in his pocket. I thought it was going to be a laser to take him out, but he then records him, doesn't he? So he records him shooting him and all that sort of thing. But I've got to say, Dave, when Achilles goes back and they're trying to get and Athena's gone in the mech, and she's like, fucking, they're like, we can't get her out. And she's once she's on the playing field, that's it. And you know, the Russian team can come in. And he's there, Tex. And then we play the video, and the video plays of him shooting him. Fucking Tex just goes, basically John McClane, yippee-ki-yay, motherfuckers. He just jumps out the building. Fucking kills himself. Why would you do that? He just fucking kills himself. He's just so, he says something like, Geronimo, oh nope, done, you're dead. It was just fucking bizarre.
It was, wasn't it? I mean, I can't explain that. A proper Scooby-Doo catcher thing, isn't it? You know, oh yep, you got me, I'm guilty, right? I guess my life is not worth living at all.
Let's just go jump out of the nearest window. But I do think, Dave, when Athena sort of gets knocked unconscious and you know, he's gonna come over and sort of kill her and everything, and then you get Achilles, he's you know, he jumps up, gets in that sort of ship, it does go Power Rangers at that point, because obviously the ship that he's in, the mech and everything that he's in, you know, and I do think it looks like a Transformer, definitely. The one I had as a kid, Dave, Jetfire.
It's like Optimus Prime.
Optimus Prime, but I think the colour's Jetfire.
The colour's the Jetfire,
Yeah, but Optimus Prime, you're right, because it is a Transformers ripoff. It's when he does the old, I mean, Rocky V wasn't built at this point, so made. But it's the whole thing when he sort of gets up off the floor, Dave, and then turns into this little sort of vehicle, doesn't he? And the Russian guy shooting at him, He's right in front of him. It's a massive fucking mech, and he's shooting behind him. I mean, this guy's not been able. He's got the stormtrooper fucking weapons at this point. This guy's not been able to miss. But at this end bit, somehow, it's not like Achilles' mech all of a sudden is dead agile and it becomes like a bit of a fucking ninja, or it's not really good on its toes and it can move around. It's a static, fucking slow thing that's got about 6 miles an hour, and he's just shooting behind it. And I'm like, oh, come on, at least speed it up or put a force field around it, some sort of shield, so he can't fucking destroy it. That is total bullshit, that bit.
It is. And again, though, I guess I kind of forgive it for this, because the other thing, right, so when he's down and he's doing that transform type thing, but ultimately it just looks, it doesn't look great, does it, when he turns himself into, it's almost like a tank, really.
Yes. Yeah.
But I guess I'm just kind of enjoying the fact that the effects are doing what they're doing. The reality is, while he's transforming, you know, if you're the other guy, you're just blasting fucking rockets at it, aren't you? Just,
yeah.
Oh no, hang about. Oh, that's impressive, that. He's just stood back watching it. Oh, nice. Oh, here was me. I thought you had this big, you know, Optimus Prime looking thing, but it seems like you're now going to transform into something else. Oh, wait, I should probably shoot you. You know, it's like, yeah. It is nonsense, but I did feel like it looked pretty good.
Yeah. Honestly, I think you're right. I think that's where the money's gone. A lot of the effects for the time, and even now, some of it does stand up. It's not horrendous. I think it's just a little bit of the Power Rangers stuff. But Dave, I've got to say, all we needed at the end was fucking Achilles to grab the mic and go, "If I could change, yeah, you could change. Everybody could change." You know what I mean? It's bullshit. This fucking guy, Alexander, has basically decimated everyone. He's got no... Even on the other team, the Confederation, he's even gone against what their fucking thing. He's gone completely rogue. He's a fucking bad guy. They've said, "We've won. That's the end of it." And this is where it's like, no, he wants to kill people. But apparently, going into battle with Achilles, the good, you know, the American, shall we say, and he's the Russian, he can change him, Dave. And when they get this, like, you know, one-on-one death match, he can just fucking say, you know, let's just forgive, and they do the old fist pump, and then it ends. Come on. Alexander's going down for the rest of his fucking life, or he's being fucking executed. That is utter bullshit, that, at the end. And then they'll be in the bar together laughing about how he killed 300 people in the last battle and stuff. Come on.
Oh, do you remember when that pilot was scuttling around and fearful for his life, and you just stamped on him? Oh, those were the days, weren't they?
Oh, yes. Or when we wanted information about your mech, and Tex just shot at fucking the professor and jumps out the window.
Through,
oh, we laughed.
The head. Yeah.
We laughed. Oh, it was great. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I can't help but come back to the Rocky IV thing now. You know, that's kind of believable, isn't it? Because there was a winner. It was a boxing match. It was not a fight to the death, you know, despite the fact obviously Apollo died. But, you know, it's supposed to be a sports match. In fact, it wasn't even competitive, was it? It was an exhibition match.
Yeah, that's true. Non-professional, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, the Apollo one was, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
The one with Rocky, was that for the world title, though?
No, it wasn't sanctioned.
That's right. So I was trying to remember.
In Rocky V, he relinquished his belts, didn't he? And that union came.
Yeah.
George Washington Duke. Oh, there you go. Sorry. I'm top on one then.
No, so, but essentially, it's a boxing match. This is a fucking fight to the death. You know, with giant post apocalyptic fucking robots. And like you say, you've got this murderous bastard who's been fucking goading you for the entire movie and killing off all of these other, you know, pilots, robot jocks. And yeah, essentially he's brought him out of retirement. He's felt that, you know, enraged. The Athena's about to be killed. He ends up having to step in. So yeah, to just go, "You know what? It's all right, mate. Let's just all be friends." It's just, it doesn't really ring true, does it? But yeah, It's just, I hadn't really thought about it until you pointed it out there.
Muff's like, you two said you enjoyed it, you pair of bastard. What's going on here? But no, honestly, I enjoyed the movie. I did. It's just silly. Just love poking fun at some of the plot holes in it. You know, it's reviewed poorly for a reason. However, the DNA of all the daft things that I would have loved if I'd watched this as a kid, I think it probably would have been a classic for me, Dave, if I'd watched this years ago. I genuinely do.
Yeah, definitely. Especially, you know, coming out of that sort of Transformers sort of time. And obviously we had the cartoon. The movie was 86, the Transformers movie.
Yes.
I think their popularity waned a little bit after that. So you're probably coming out the other side. But to see it in live action, and that, all right, the stop motion animation stuff looks quite a bit dated, but where they've just got the models, I think it looks pretty good. And you know, obviously we saw the Transformers movies later, but I'd have to say, you know, because you're using practical effects, you're using the models as opposed to, you know, all this metallic grey kind of CGI mess that you got in the first few Transformers movies. I almost think this looks better.
Well, and I do, and I do. I don't know about you, Dave, but I was getting PTSD when he was going to see his brother and sister-in-law and the six kids, who all looked a bit suspicious because all the kids looked about five. So I always had six kids in that time. I don't know. But everyone's wearing masks, and I'm like, oh. And all I kept thinking was, fuck you, Boris Johnson, and you bunch of wankers. You know, because everyone's wearing masks. I don't know what it was. I was like, oh, well, that looks familiar. If we'd have been on lockdown, it wouldn't have even mattered from fucking COVID. I was like, you. I just kept thinking of that buff-haired fucking tosspot. But anyway, Dave, we're not getting political. He's just a cock. So anything else, Dave?
No, that's it. Let's get into our final review.
Let's go. So big thank you, Matt. I really enjoyed this one more than I should have done. It's utterly stupid. And I will, at some point, I always say this, I know you're, fuck, I know, Dave, I can feel your eyes going, fuck off, Chris. But if I ever come across this again, I would watch it. I would, honestly, because it was just silly and I enjoyed it. It's an hour and 20. It's not 25 minutes, whatever, 85 minutes. It's perfect time. Just throw away silly movie. And there's loads of things. They've ripped off all their movies, as we said before, but just as a standalone sort of movie, something silly to watch, and I've never even heard of it. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. So I'm going to put it in the middle, Dave. It's Hill Valley. It's not amazing, but it's just got so much silliness, and the martial arts is fucking awful. So it gets marked up for that, just for that, because it's class watching Gary Graham trying to throw some kicks and stuff. What about yourself, Dave?
Yeah, I'm pretty close as well. I do have good nostalgic memories for this one. But like I say, without remembering the detail, it's weird. I can't explain it really, because other movies that I might have seen just once from around the same time, I remember all the plot things that, you know, all the plot events that happened. But with this one, just didn't really remember it. I mean, the fact that you got Tex walking around, I mean, it gives off that kind of Red Dwarf feel almost, doesn't it, with him. It sort of takes you out of it a little bit, really, really dates it. But yeah, I feel like the effects were really good. It was really quite impressive. Like you say, that's where most of the budget went. I think the little strip with the spectators either side is a fucking accident waiting to happen. So I thought, you know, again, with the way it was shot, maybe they could have done a slightly better job there. But there is just something entertaining about this. It's like a fucking greasy cheeseburger, you know, with no nutritional value whatsoever. But yeah, you can't help but enjoy it. So I think for me, it's going to go in the middle as well. I think the music could have been better, but you sort of have to take this for what it is. It's just a post-apocalyptic sci-fi low-budget movie with some cool things in. Nothing really original in terms of storyline, but just still enjoyable. And ultimately, it is that kind of hero's journey, isn't it? Or that hero's redemption, you know, because he, all right, he's kind of, well, he has retired, but he's also retired under a cloud as well, hasn't he? Because he tried to save the crowd and ended up killing many more people, Chris, than if he could just let the fucking the rocket fly into the crowd. But yeah, so it's that redemption story as well. So I think it just hits perfectly for the sort of movies we like to see.
It does. And Dave, you talk about movies that hit perfectly. Next week... Next fucking week, Dave, this is a movie that I have gone on about for 6 years. This is a movie that Chris Phelps basically discovered how to throw his shoulder out, Dave. This is a movie that I used to know the minute by minute sections that I had to go past just so it didn't show to people that I was basically pulling one off all the time. I watched it, Dave. And I'll be honest with you, Dave, I'm almost considering, is it still shoulderable? If even that's even a word, Dave. I'm almost considering a sort of commemorative wank on this one, Dave. Just to see if it's still got that twitch for Chris Phelps and his hormones. But anyway, on a serious note, Dave, it's a Patreon pick. Our good friend and patron Trent has picked a movie, Dave, a fucking movie that I have watched probably as much as Smoking the Bandit, because closely followed by Sliver, but there you go. We are going to be watching, this is so bad, the Michael Douglas, Sharon Stone, psychological, sexual thriller, Dave, Basic Instinct. So let's get into the trailer. Oh, it's coming back, Betty. Sharon Stone. Unbelievable.
Well, you got 31 stab wounds.
What was it?
Ice pick.
I'd like to speak to him, Miss Captain Tremell, please.
Is she a suspect?
She's a suspect.
I wanted to write a book about the murder of a retired rock and roll star.
You know how she does the boyfriend? An ice pick.
She intended the book to be her alibi.
I picked him up, then I had sex with him.
You didn't feel anything for him, you just had sex with him for your book.
In the beginning. Then I got to like what he did for me.
You like playing games, don't you?
It's nice.
You've got no physical evidence.
She's lying. What's your new book about?
A detective. He falls for the wrong woman.
What happens?
She kills him.
She needs a moment. Bummer.
You are out of control, Kurt.
You won't learn anything I don't want you to know.
I thought she was told.
She knew that nobody would buy it.
She is screwing with your head.
Iconic. Look at her.
Oh, wasn't
it?
She was so
parody that I
went to you.
How does it feel to kill someone?
The sexiest woman on the planet around this time.
You are. Take Sliver up this with really involved in that moment. They got a little pop in that one.
Turn over your head.
It was internal affairs, wasn't it?
She manipulates people.
Freeze!
I must keep you.
You wanna play, man? Come on!
She knows where I live and breathe.
Yeah.
Games are over, Nick.
You sure this makes great style music? You sure this is the right trailer?
Yeah! Yeah, it's the official trailer. It is, honestly. It's in the club, that music.
Right.
When, that bit when he's, where she's with a girl as well. That's the bit where Michael Douglas comes in with the... I'm not ruining the film for you, Dave, but it's all come back to me. Oh, I feel a stirring now, Dave.
You do sound a little bit flustered, actually. I mean, Michael Douglas needs to choose his women more wisely, doesn't he? I think he doesn't have much luck with this stuff.
But you're right, but we need to have a fucking chat with ourselves, because we're going to end up with done, in the space of about fucking 6-7 months, more Michael Douglas films than Lauren Avedon ones, Dave. What the fuck's going on? But this is a classic.
More Michael Douglas films than Arnie, than Sly Stallone. I think Van Damme. We do seem to have done quite a few Douglas films.
Oh, brilliant. I love this film. Well, I did. I don't know whether now or it'd do it for me, Dave. But as a young aspiring teenager, Dave, this was the fucking film for me. Oh, I fucking loved it.
Well, the thing is as well, like with the DVD technology and the digital technology, depending on how you're going to watch it, the pause button will actually freeze the frame as opposed to the as opposed to the VHS, which is all jumpy and stuff.
Okay, let's be honest. We've all watched this movie on the VHS and tried to at that point. However, there's nothing to see there, Dave. I've scientifically magnifying glass. There isn't. It's all smoke and mirrors, which it should be anyway, because it's a movie. But yeah, that scene, if you remember, that's what sold and made this movie what it was, good or bad, because of that scene, wasn't it? Like, you know, yeah. It was in the paper. Obviously, there was no internet when this came out. This was everywhere. Papers, the premiere, it completely elevated Sharon Stone's career, didn't it? Absolutely massive. So, yeah, but brilliant. Yeah,
because I'd first seen Sharon Stone in V. You know, I don't know if you ever watched V, two-part miniseries.
Yeah.
But she was in that, but she had the big kind of Kylie perm and so she looked completely different, but it was this kind of iconic look, the swept back bleach blonde hair and the white dress and everything, and you know, so many parodies that I remember from this as well. So it was absolutely huge at the time, wasn't it?
It was. And also the fact that when I realized that she'd been in like Police Academy 4 or 5 or something, she was Mahoney's love interest. So I had to go back and investigate that day. She's in Total Recall. She's Arnie's missus in that.
Yeah.
Sliver. She's in the one with Stallone as well, where the hitmen and stuff, and she has the gun on her thigh with the suspenders. You can see where I've gone with this day, can't you? I may have been a little bit obsessed with her. I think the ADHD kicked in at this point, undiagnosed. But yeah, I sort of tried to digest any little bit, but always came back to Sliver and Basic Instinct. So yeah, amazing work, Dave.
Very good, very good.
Oh, fucking, I'm getting flustered now. Right, let's move on, Dave. Let's move on. So a massive thank you to everyone, as always. If you want to email us, The VHS Strikes Back at gmail.com. If you want to follow us on social media at VHS Strikes Back, please drop us a review on the podcast, guys, if you get a chance in your podcast catching app. And just a little update, Dave. We are now, we've had a 4,000 new viewers of No Retreat, No Surrender 3. We are now at 45,000 views for that video on our YouTube page. So VHS Strikes Back. So get over there. We've had some great comments. The podcast is great. And then some put something like, you're just laughing like a pair of kids or something, Dave. So yeah, that's what you get.
No, it was little girls or something. But
little girls or something.
Wasn't the handle something like Adolf's Babe?
I mean, something like that. I was like, okay, mate. Yeah, whatever. Yeah. And then I responded with not the VHS one, my own bloody vlogging one. And I think he thought I was defending us, not knowing it's me. So that, anyway, but brilliant. But 45,000. So with a race to 50K is on, Dave. So it's brilliant. But if you do want to support us, please get over to patreon.com/thevhsstrikesback. So the roll call of honor and a massive thank you to Mr. Tony Farina, Mike Burton, Lee, Helen, Dylan, Steve, Trent, Dan, Justin, Susan, Timothy, Matt, Kent, Lucky Lulu Green, Herb, Jax, Math, Blake, and Mr. John Hammond. So thank you so much for all your support, guys, past and present. We really, really appreciate it. Amazing stuff. Now, Dave, I've had a look. I'm sure you've had a look. There is no fucking trivia. So what are you going to take us out with today?
I thought I'd mention right at the end as well. So just spur of the moment, decided to throw out a poll for our Patreons. So last week we covered The Game with Michael Douglas and we sent it to Hill Valley. And I think it's one of Blake's favorite movies. And I think he was a bit disgusted at us because I think unintentionally we did the old switcheroo because we were speaking quite positively about it. And then we were like, right at the end, Hill Valley. So I probably deflated him a little bit there. So I thought, you know what, we'll throw out a Patreon poll and see how other people view it as well. And actually the top two kind of ratings were Pleasantville at 38% and also Hill Valley at 38% as well. So a tie. So I do feel like it was kind of on the boundary. I on a different day, maybe I might have put that in Pleasantville as well. But I think we'll start doing that. We'll put out Patreon polls, so we'll have our score, and then the next week we'll kind of reconcile them with how the Patreons see it as well.
No, definitely, definitely. And if anybody does want to email us in, if they watch Basic Instincts and have the same feelings and thought, you know what, I'm going to commemorate it by...
Oh, no. I don't like where you're going.
Maybe we could have a watch-along of VHS Watch.
Yeah,
no,
we did get asked the other week to do more YouTube stuff, but maybe that's more of an OnlyFans thing.
That's an OnlyFans. Yeah. Me on the bed. Fucking, yeah, let's not go there, Dave. Fucking brilliant. Well, anyway.
I think... The only thing, there are no good quotes, but the fact that you've got Michael Koslow there, a German, playing his best Russian accent, I figured I'd give that a go, completely unprepared. But Achilles and Alexander have this interaction in the bar, and Achilles says, "You're making my beer curdle." And Alexander responds with, "And you make my drink taste like blood."
What dialogue?
Because he's from fucking Transylvania as well. Anyway, Chris, that was awful. Thank you very much, sir. Thanks to all our listeners out there. Thanks to all our supporters. And we'll speak to you next time.
Bye.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over. What the fuck are we gonna do now?
What are we gonna do? Maybe we could build a fire, sing a couple of songs, huh? Why don't we try that?
We better get back, because it'll be dark soon, and they mostly come at night. Mostly.
I'll be back.
That's a lie.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Wax on, wax off.
Run! Oh! Get to the chopper!
One ring to go.
All right. Ding.
Bless you all.
Go for it.
Well, here we go.
Ain't so bad. Ain't so bad. Ain't so bad. Ain't so bad. Ain't nothing.
You must be crazy or something.
I'm crazy.
You're just a stupid fool.
Yeah, maybe
you're
stupid. Stupid. I ain't breathing heavy.
He's a fool. He's stupid.
I've seen you in 6 miles.
I must break you.
Defenders strong,
they touch the sky. Giant fists, the earth they shake. In 89, futures at stake. All systems go in their eyes. Their engines scream.